the world country because there's something else.
I open the House Committee on Human Services and Housing on Wednesday, April 17th, 2013. Representative Gomberg.
Yes, Madam Chair, I was a little distraught when I came in today. I couldn't help but notice that Vice Chair Olson was wearing not only a green tie, but a green shirt. Did he not get the memo, or is this some kind of wardrobe malfunction?
Do you have a response, Representative Olson?
You want to step outside?
I think I'll duck that invitation.
Oh, that was good.
Yes. Yes. Kind of slow on this end, sorry.
Okay. I will open the work. Is that what I do? Open the work session on House Bill 2830, Representative Gelser. 2890.
Thank you. Madam Chair, I move to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2890 was reported to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Representative Gelser moves to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2890 was reported to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? So bill is back in this committee. And Representative Kotek, you wish to speak on this.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative from House District 44 and Speaker of the Oregon House. I was just here today to speak to the importance of the inclusionary zoning bill. And it's a bill that I want to make sure we get right, and that my office, along with the sponsors of the bill, will be leading a work group in the interim to hopefully come back with a proposal that will have what we need to do for improving affordable housing here in the state. And I really appreciate all the work that's been done in this committee and look forward to working on it in the interim.
Great,
thank you, Madam
Chair.
Great
news. Thank you, Representative. Any quick questions? Seeing none, thank you. And
thank
with
you.
That, I close the work session on House Bill 2890. Open up the work session on House Bill 3377. Regina. Oh, okay. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3377. Open up the public hearing on House Bill 2013.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2013 has no revenue impact. The fiscal statement was issued. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It directs the Early Learning Council and Department of Education to assist school districts in implementing kindergarten readiness assessments for children. It requires standardized screening and referral services for voluntary statewide early learning system, expands assessments for Healthy Start Family Support Services programs to include children from 0 to 3 years of age, directs the Oregon Health Authority and ELC to develop performance metrics for prenatal care, delivery, and infant care, instructs Oregon Health Authority and ELC to establish grant program to support strategies that align voluntary statewide early learning systems and health systems to improve developmental outcomes from children from 0 to 3 years of age, requires preschool children with disability have comprehensive communication plan by the age of 3 years, directs ELC to establish demonstration project, appropriates funds from the general fund for demonstration projects.
Thank you very much, and I think we have some people who would like to speak on this. Thank you for coming today.
Good afternoon again, Madam Chair, members of the committee, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44 and Speaker of the Oregon House.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Duke Shepherd from the Governor's Office.
It's really a pleasure to be back talking about what I think is one of the most important issues that we're taking up this session, which is continuing the discussion and investment and continued focus on early learning, early childhood education, and the systems we have and how we can strengthen them and maximize them for the future of our children here in the state. You had colleagues here earlier talking about House Bill 2013. It's been several weeks. I want to thank everyone who's been working to produce the Dash 1 amendment, particularly Duke in the Governor's Office, Jada Rupley from the Early Learning Council, different colleagues who've been working and providing input on how we move forward with what we started in with 4165 in the 2012 session, saying how do we take the investments we're currently doing in early childhood, strengthen them, focus them, work with the existing funding streams, having worked with the existing partners to move to a regionalized hub system, to look at different ways to coordinate with the coordinated care organizations, to work and strengthen existing programs like Healthy Families. So what you see in the dash one is the next iteration of 2013. Our core elements are still there in the bill, supporting our schools and teachers as they begin to utilize the kindergarten readiness assessment, implementing a standardized screening tool for all children and programs receiving state resources, expanding services provided by Healthy Families for children age 0 to 3, enhancing the integration of early childhood in our healthcare systems through the coordinated care organizations, support for quality child care in all settings, requiring that all children with EI, ECSC supports are provided with a comprehensive communication plan, and creating a limited number of hubs, or what they were earlier called the community coordinated organizations. I forget.
Community-based coordinated of early learning services.
There you go. That can demonstrate that we have locally developed models to really integrate all the services for the 0 to 6 age range. So one of the things you see in the dash one is we're going to just call them hubs, make it easy. So I think it's early learning hubs, I believe is the term in the bill. Does anyone have the dash one?
Yes.
Let me highlight some of those. It's rather long.
Yes.
Actually, given all the major restructuring bills we've done in the last couple of years, 43 pages is not that too bad. So in the dash ones, what you'll see is, and I think you should have a document that looks like this that describes the dash ones.
Right.
I'll just read it for those who might not have one. The dash one amendment amends the language in section 9 of the base bill regarding family, friends, and neighbor care to require the creation of a committee that will collaboratively develop a quality improvement system for our license-exempt providers. If you remember in the original bill, we had talked about adding some language into the TQRIS system, the Tiered Quality Rating and Information System, and feedback was that wasn't the right spot. But we need something that says family, friend, and neighbor care needs further enhancement, further supports for quality. And so you see language there in Section 9. The dash one makes several adjustments to the original language on the Healthy Start Family Service Program to adopt new statewide screening tools, clarify services are for prenatal to 3 years of age, and adjust the name of the program. So, again, I think there was testimony at the first time the bill was here about healthy families and trying to coordinate all the right language. The dash one emphasizes meaningful participation of key stakeholders and community partners in hub governance structures. This includes education, healthcare, and human service providers, public and private entities, and representatives of consumers of services. You know, I think the most discussion we've had is this, you know, what are the hubs going to look like? Who's going to be involved? I think it's very important, very similar to what we've been seeing with the coordinated care organizations and the healthcare system, that you need as many different stakeholders at the table to try to make this work. But one of the things I want to say just on the record around hubs, because I've been hearing a lot that communities are already and they're already to be hubs, I want to make it clear. A meeting of multiple stakeholders does not make a hub. You must have meetings of multiple stakeholders to have an effective hub. But just having a meeting doesn't make a hub. So I want people to be clear about that. At some point in time, some entity with skin in the game has to say, I'm going to keep all these people together at a table and talk about these things and move the ball forward. So I just want to put that clarification from my head and for what I've learned from this process. So, but we need as many stakeholders at the table as possible. The dash one requires that any potential hub demonstrate the ability to improve outcomes for children and do so in a fiscally sound manner. No surprise, this is about increased accountability of what are very limited dollars right now in early childhood, which I'm hoping if we can build accountability and build the integration, we can go out and ask for more money, but that accountability is important. The dash one increases, so in the original bill, there was a strong support for going forward with only 5 demonstration projects. In the dash one, you'll see that we'd increase the number from 5 to 7 hubs in the first year of the biennium and allow for an additional 9 hubs to cover the rest of the state in the second year of the biennium. That's in section 24. If you look at all the maps in the states about all the different regions that provide services in the state, whether it's an ESD or a CCO or, for those who are listening, an educational service district or a coordinated care organization or the service delivery areas for the Department of Human Services, you have about 16 of them. So that's why you have the numbers you see there. 7 and 9 get to 16. So there's nothing magic about that, but it's really difficult to see why we'd have more than 16 regions, but we had to put a number, and that's why you have that there. The Dash 1 Amendment requires the Early Learning Council to develop organizational metrics that assess a hub's competency and effectiveness in achieving improved early learning outcomes. Hub funding in the second year of the biennium will be contingent upon achievement of these metrics. I think one of the challenging things for hubs right now is there's been a lot of visionary talk about, well, we're going to have hubs and they're going to have these outcomes for kids on day one. I think that's unrealistic. But what we do want to know on day one or in day two or day 30 is, are the hubs measuring how they can be effective organizations? The process metrics. How are they going to get to the outcomes metrics they need for kids? There is a step before you actually say you can start measuring what's happening to children and families. And I think that's something we want to make sure that the Early Learning Council can put together for the early hubs to say, who's at the table? How are you functioning together? How are you going to come up with how you get to the metrics? Those things are important to measure and understand before we know if we have functioning hubs and organizations out there. The Dash 1 Amendment says that the Early Learning Council will develop child performance metrics that will be used to assess hub effectiveness in year two and beyond. So the Early Learning Council will go and look at those metrics of how do we measure that we're actually changing the lives of children and families, and then that's what they will use to measure the out-year performance effectiveness of the hubs. The Dash 1 talks about the tasks that the ELC will manage. They're going to help manage the transition of services in regions of the state not served by a hub in the first year of the biennium. There's a lot of concern out there, and you might hear it in public testimony today, or at least after people have digested the Dash 1 amendment. What's the transition for communities that might not have a hub fully on scale in the first half of the biennium? We don't know what that is, but the Early Learning Council should be committed to making sure a community that doesn't have a hub, who isn't quite ready but wants to get ready by the second half of the biennium, has some support. So you see some language in the bill to say there's going to be some transition support. That could, be supporting at least a salaried person in each region or at least some semblance of a region that can help communities get ready. I think there's a concern that there's a cliff at the end of this biennium in terms of transition as it relates to 0 to 6. The bill says Early Learning Council is going to help facilitate that transition. And as this bill moves to Ways and Means, finding the resources to help do that. And lastly, the Dash 1 establishes an early learning kindergarten readiness partnership and innovation program to support successful efforts to improve early learning outcomes. That's Section 26. One of the things that colleagues in the House Democratic Caucus have been talking about is, and I think also, I don't think it's a partisan issue, we've just been talking about it very succinctly, that there has to be some dollars available to help the transition between the 0 to 6 early learning world and what happens at the school. What happens in kindergarten? What happens in, grade 1 and grade 2 and grade 3? This helps create potentially some funding for that linkage that should be happening in communities to make that more of a seamless continuum that we all think is important. Right now, it's kind of up in the air if that happens at all. This is saying we should have to be more intentional and put some money behind it if we can to help that happen. And I think I'll stop there for now. Duke?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, for the record, Duke Shepherd from the Governor's Office. I'm honored to be here with the Speaker and to have worked on this bill so far. I think we have taken the next prudent steps, as the Speaker said, in delivering the transitions anticipated from House Bill 4165, moving from 5 demonstration projects for this new early learning system over the whole biennium to 7 in the first year and a total of 16 makes sense. It's staged in a way that will certainly encourage people to step up and be ready, but will also give the legislature an opportunity to look right at the midpoint about how we're doing, and we can potentially make any adjustments that are needed. On the partnership and readiness fund, the Speaker just spoke about, that's really a key component here, because with all of the system components we're talking about, it's still important to have, I think of the system pieces are sort of bigger picture, and then this partnership fund is sort of grassroots, that you can, you will have change going at the higher levels and change coming up from the from the grassroots. You know, you might have an area that's not ready for their hub to be operational in a year and a half, but they may have a go-getter elementary school. They may have a great Head Start program. They may be ready to go and look at Earl Boyles in Portland and do it in their community like they're doing in Yonkala. And this will provide a vehicle, funding, subject to funding, for that to happen in a number of places around the state without having to wait on a local sort of hub to sort of fully bloom. This gets at the alignment of services and the focus on outcomes the governor has talked about and worked to implement over the last 2 years. And I've, other than saying I think we've got a good set of amendments here and look forward to following this through, I think I'll wrap it up. Thank you.
Thank you, Duke.
And Madam Chair, if I would just may, I think it's important to get this bill engrossed with the Dash 1. I do think a lot of people need to sit and think about it by sending it to Ways and Means. My commitment is we're continuing the conversation there. We don't know how many dollars are actually available to do some of this. I mean, to be very honest, we have some dollars set aside, I think, from the governor's budget, and there's commitment from the co-chairs that they want to do something around early learning. I think we all agree with that. And we are seeing, you know, maintained investments in Head Start and Healthy Start and early intervention that I think are going to be important and hopefully will help offset some of the sequestration cuts. But in terms of understanding exactly what's happening, I would ask for patience for those who are looking for some exact blueprint of where we're going. This is, we're not done with this. We're going to go to Ways and Means, keep talking about it. We need the budget committees to look at it as well. And I think we're on the right track. So I urge patience, but we need feedback as we go forward from here. So.
Thank you. And I just want to point out to committee, as you already know, we'll be sending this on to Ways and Means. And what I'm hoping that we could do is invite you back and Jada Rupley and other people also as we go through the process in Ways and Means, since most of us are not on the Ways and Means sub, that we would like to be kept apprised of the progress. And I would certainly be eager to see the engrossed version. So that would be terrific. So thank you. Any questions of either of these two?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Two-part question. One is, by getting to 16 in these amendments, or this amendment, you're saying we get the state covered within 2 years, or more so, I guess. Does that mean that we've eliminated the sort of we're picking winners argument? And then the second part of the question is, have we answered the question a few weeks ago that says, while we do this transition, how are we paying for or how are we continuing services that are in effect now from the old model as we go into the new Early Learning Council model?
Madam Chair and Representative Gilliam, on the first question about picking winners, I assume that was probably connected to the idea that we'd have demonstration projects and everyone else would be kind of wandering in the wilderness until they became a hub. The expectation that I share with the governor is that we are building momentum that every community in this state will be covered by a hub by the end of the biennium. And this allows for saying, we're not quite sure what they should look like. Let's pick the best, most organized, most developed folks first, who will work closely with the Early Learning Council, help actually the other areas transition to be hubs themselves. I do think because of the limited resources in the entire system statewide, I think it's not like coordinated care organizations where you know you could have more than one CCO in an area because there's enough Medicaid money flowing through. You can't really do that. So you need to have regions, you need to have communities that understand that how do you work with a finite amount of resources for this population and do it in the most effective way possible. So you build the most capable folks first, help the next ones transition to by the second half of the biennium. So it's a little bit like a phase, but you know, really the first group that comes in has a lot to show. They have to be able to show that they've got it together, they know what they're doing, and I will reiterate, I don't think we exactly know what it is, and I think there are a lot of people out there, they think they know what it is, and I think there's some communities that are ready to go now, and I think we would need them to get started, and then they can lead the way for the rest of the communities who aren't quite there yet. And that's what we're trying to do here in the bill. In terms of the funding streams, I think some of that will frankly rely on, you know, how many dollars do you need to invest in this and how much can actually continue to be happening. There's some discretionary funding streams that might not completely align with what we're trying to do in 0-6 or for the adolescent funding. So how do you figure out how to, what do you do in that transition period? That has yet to be determined, I think.
Representative Olson, did you have a question?
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Thank you very much. Can I jump in on Representative Gilliam's question? So I also, to add to the speaker's response, just to keep services in effect, you know, in at least technically speaking, these were on, the services provided through local commissions were on a two-year cycle, always anyway, subject to the change and updates to the local plan. So there's always been the expectation there's some continuity, but that continuity decision was completely locally based. Right now, the governor's funding for all of those funding streams that previously went through local commissions was increased in his proposed budget. This bill provides affirmation and direction to the Early Learning Council to help keep things together, working with local communities. That doesn't necessarily require a commission to do that. And the example I'll give you is the state funds relief nurseries. The relief nursery funding has historically gone through commissions, but it's strictly been a pass-through. We're already working on updating the IGAs for Healthy Start and for relief nurseries. We're working on having the templates in place for the intergovernmental agreements we have with counties and other providers that receive funds. Now, those, again, you know, you end up in ways and means. Some of those funding streams may or may not continue or could get redirected, but at least the ability to do it, and I think on the governor's behalf, the commitment to minimize the any disruption in service is there.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Gilliam. Yes, follow up.
I appreciate that answer, and I know that you share the concern that in our reorganization no injury is done, and I'll count on you to make sure through that process, because as you may know, I've been asked to be co-chair many times, but I'm not on ways and means. So I need good eyes and ears to make sure we're not doing any injury to those folks who are already receiving services. So thank you for that answer, and Madam Chair, I think Representative Wisner was trying to get your attention.
Representative Wisner, were you trying to get my attention?
I have some questions, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Speaker and Mr. Shepherd, the decision was made 2 years ago to do this, and now we have a plan delivered on the 17th of April, 40 pages, that says, and you've got 78 days to implement, I guess, the first hubs. I don't see that in here. I can't even find where it says we're going to start with my help here, where it says we're going to start with 7 now or 9 or whatever and go to 16. Could you please tell me where that is? Or I know the speaker has work to do, and if Mr. Shepherd or his or her, your staff can help me, I'll be glad.
Oh, Madam Chair and Representative Wisnett, I think Section 24, maybe? I mean, you can look it off my cheat sheet. So Section 24 of the bill on page 40, I'm looking at the Dash 1 Amendment, sorry. So this continues some of the language that was in the original bill about establishing a demonstration project.
Thank you.
And looking for the actual number.
The bottom page 40.
Right, so section, or sub, whatever that is, sub 3, line 28 on page 40, it says, the Early Learning Council may provide funding under this section during the 13-14 fiscal year for no more than 7 early learning hubs. And then onto the next page, it talks about the Early Learning Council may provide funding under this section during the first half of the biennium to no more than, second half, to no more than a total of 16 early learning hubs. So the idea here is, over the course of the biennium, you're going to see a transition to a full, at this point, 16 hubs.
If I could,
you know, I think one of the concerns that I have had is I still think we can't put on a piece of paper that says a hub is blank, blank, and blank. We have goals, we have expectations, we have people who are talking and partners who want to get started. I've been assured by the governor's office and other folks who are more intimately involved in what's happening in other communities that there have been significant conversations happening since we last discussed this in 2011. People knew that between 2011 and 2012, especially after 4165 passed, that the local commission system was going away, that there would be a hub structure for 0 to 6, and that people started talking. My understanding is there are probably at least 7 good organizations, groups, community collaborations ready to go by the start of the biennium. I've been assured of that. I want to hope that happens. It's always a bit of a leap, but I think some communities are ready to do this.
And Madam, as Representative Wisnett had addressed the question to both of us, if I may, the other component I would add to the speaker's response is one reason the amendment got at least a little long is because it slightly amends some of the criteria from 4165. The reason I mention is that is because those criteria were in House Bill 4165. Communities have had them. So the idea that we would have hubs, that they would have to meet this criteria, that there would be an RFP process to do that, the substantive part that has really changed is that instead of an open-ended number with a implement no later than date of January 1, 2014, which I don't think anybody thinks we could actually pull off January 1, 2014, we've now done this 7 1-year, the remainder of the next year, and set 16 based on sort of the common sense view of how many regions are out there in a variety of other areas.
Follow up? Thank you. Mr. Shepherd and Speaker, I've talked to both of you several times on this issue, and my concern is transition plan and no gaps in service, and I still don't see that in this amendment. I just got it. I did not get a chance to. I had some medical issues yesterday. I was not able to get it last night or read it, and I've had committees all day, so this is the first time I've seen it. And it's, before the bill had pilot projects, and now it's got, which I concur, and I think I've suggested to the speaker that sounds better than going to pilot projects. I'm still concerned. I'm still don't see it here. Maybe I'll find it. I don't see it here that there's a transition plan. This is all about children and families. It's not about a bureaucracy, who I have attended and heard briefings in this committee room about all the great plans, but I don't see in here a transition plan that's going to assure me that there won't be gaps in services to the children and families in each of our communities. So I don't have any further questions as far as what I just received, because I just received it and it's 40 pages, and I, being from the South, I'm really slow in a lot of stuff. So, but
and Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, we recognize the committee is just getting this. This isn't going straight to the floor. I know that doesn't totally satisfy those of you who are not in Ways and Means, but I think as we gather more feedback, and I anticipate we'll have some meetings here in the near term with stakeholders to say, here's where the bill is now. What questions do you still have? What can we adjust to satisfy, your concerns, if we can? But the vision that I share with the governor on this is that we are going to put a new focus on 0 to 6. We are going to have outcomes. We are going to have accountability. And we're going to make sure that every child and family at risk in the state is being served by an integrated organization that we're going to call a hub. That's the goal here. And this provides a plan to get there. It's perhaps not as detailed as some would like, but I think sometimes you don't want to overwrite the statute. You want to give the authority. You want to give the authority to the Early Learning Council. You want to set the parameters and let them go do their job. And so that's what you see here, but I think where everyone is so open to getting feedback on it. But until you had something to actually look at, it was a little hard to know where to go next. Everyone's going to have a chance to look at this. It'll get engrossed. And the conversation's going to go to the end of session. So,
Madam Chair, may I make one final comment?
Yes.
Thank you for your...
You're welcome.
To the Speaker and to Mr. Shepherd, it's late. This is too late. We're seeing this. And I hope it works. I've always told both of you, I hope this works. But I think this it comes up way short at this point. I think we should have had this a lot sooner, because you still, I don't see here how you're going to implement even the first 9 in 78 days.
Madam Chair, Representative Wisnett, I'm not aware of anything in the bill as constructed that requires anything to be implemented in 78 days.
Okay.
It allows the RFP process to continue, but I would think in theory your community could submit their RFP. The RFP process is laid out. They could submit the timeline that they wanted to, so they could start their hub when they want to.
last comment, and thank you for your patience, to both Speaker and to Mr. Shepherd. I see this as a top-down. I've worked at the lowest level, and I don't see the input and in here about how it's actually going to work, and I'll try to study and look at it.
Madam Chair, may I point out one timeline that's in here to respond to Representative Wisman? On page 41, I think the understanding was it would be very hard. Normally what we do here is we pass something and then we ask people to come back in the fall before the next session and tell us how they're doing. That's just way too quick. So what you see in the bill on line 14 on page 41, the early learning hub that receives funding under this section must submit a report to the appropriate interim legislative committee no later than January 1. My expectation is that you're going to, by January 1, have hubs who have at least met a couple times, are starting to work together closely, are starting to understand how they function together, are starting to look at how to integrate funding, and start reaching those process outcomes. It says they're going to be a functioning hub, a fully functioning hub by the end of the first year. So this is a check-in point for them. And then you also see in the next section that the council must submit a report. This is an ELC reporting back to us no later than July 1 of 2014, so hopefully near the middle to late of session. This is in 2014 to prepare us for 2015. Where is the demonstration project? Are the next 9 ready to go because the first 7 have done their job? These are check-ins. It's, you know, can we spread this out 5 years? Sure. But if we're going to get started on this, this is a pathway to do it, and it is aggressive, but it's doable.
Any further questions? Certainly a work in progress. We're putting a lot of faith in your hands. We're going to be following you. And so how soon do you think you might be able to come back and report to our committee what the progress has been in the Ways and Means Committee?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the committee, I guess while it's 42 pages long, I actually don't see how this amendment is that revolutionary, because most of what's been in statute has been in there since 2012. This is really setting the numbers and the targets and saying we're going to follow through. So it's, there are components in there about new committees and reports, but really it is House Bill 4165 was passed. We're going to set up hubs. The bill renames them hubs and says how many you're going to see and set up some reporting. So that's really the substance that you've heard in committee previously when I testified, when counties came all from all over the state to testify. For those of you who were here last session who heard testimony or voted on the bill, the underlying policy, the direction that things are in statute actually really haven't changed, which is to say I'm happy to come back here as soon as this goes to the subcommittee and we talk to the subcommittee chairs and have some sense of the dollars that might be matched up to the policy. But aside from a little bit of tweaking, I appreciate that you just got the amendments today, but we've had a lot of stuff in statute for a year now, and this really just says go do what was in statute.
I think I feel the discomfort in the committee. What we'd like to do is look at the engrossed version of the legislation and come back, and that would give us a chance to look at it. And if other questions arise, we could get a response.
Okay, Madam Chair, I agree with what Duke just said. Well, I think what would be helpful for us is specific questions of what is not yet clear. I'm not saying that there aren't things that aren't clear.
Yes.
But what is the actual question that, and then we could come back and address a set of questions. I think that might be more instructive for everybody. Maybe your office of the committee administrator could collect all the questions, and then we could come back, because this will help inform, I think, what happens in the budget committee to the degree that we know how many dollars are available. But I agree with Duke. I mean, 4165 has been out for a while. This is a further elaboration of that framework. I think we go.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Yes, Representative Kenny Geyer.
So, thank you, Madam Chair. Just one question, since I sit next to my colleague. I hear a lot of his questions around transition. Part of what you refer to here is that as the hubs are rolling out, it's ELC, because part of the question was, well, who's going to help with the transition? Is it passed through to the county? Now it's been kind of identified as ELC. And I don't know if you'd like to elaborate a little bit on how that might happen, or if you'd like to bring the ELC director up, but that might get at some of the questions, I think. At least identifying who's the responsible party to help continue that transition is helpful. But if you'd like to elaborate at all, I think that might address some of the concerns that I know you've been expressing.
Chair Tomei, Representative Kenny Geyer, I could just reiterate my response to Representative Gilliam that we've got a team of about 20 or more people from DAS, Department of Education, Child Care Division, and others working on the structural things that we need to do to be ready to move as soon as possible. So that's updating intergovernmental agreements that we have with counties. That's updating the contracting processes for keeping relief nurseries and Healthy Start funded. That is having the infrastructure in place and ready to go for any RFP that would overlap those services. So I think the continuity of services can and should be separated from the commissions are going away question, because contracts with counties exist between the state and counties for a lot of different things. It's relatively simple to update the IGA and send the check from this unit of government to that local unit of government for the services that the state wants to buy. If in the budget process the state wants to decide to buy something different, then we obviously wouldn't continue that. But structurally, it's actually pretty straightforward.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I, too, appreciate that that the amendments are long and that there's been a lot of discussion about this. I am really eager to vote on these amendments and send House Bill 2013 to Ways and Means. I am confident that the Ways and Means Committee will be able to ensure that there is not a disruption of services in terms of what is occurring for children and families in the state. I think that that message has been stated by multiple people, multiple times, in multiple ways, and I sincerely believe in the commitment to that. I think that 2013 is a great next step. I think we are on the edge of a great opportunity to really improve our services for young children and improve their outcomes in the long run. It will impact the work that we do down the hall in house education, because kids are going to come to school better able to learn. And the leadership that you have all provided, all of the work and conversation that has taken place over the last several months, I think is culminated in this amendment that's here. It is a good bill. It is a good set of amendments, and Madam Chair, I'm very excited to vote on them, and I hope we can do so soon.
Great. Thank you. Any further questions? Thank you so much for coming today, and thanks for all the work you've done on this, and we're very excited to see the operation.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. Tiara, are you wanting to testify today?
Actually, Madam Chair, I'm just fine. I think that
okay.
Was all said.
Terrific. Thank you. We do have...
I have a question for...
For whom?
Jada.
Yes. Jada, would you come up and answer a question? Thank you. Go ahead.
Oh, tell us who you are. I'm Jada Rupley, the Early Learning System Director, State of Oregon.
I guess I could have asked the speaker this or Mr. Shepherd, but the presentation that they made puts the burden on you, and it says we're going to have these, what are we starting off with, seven?
Mm-hmm.
Seven hubs. How many children and children programs will be ended 1 July?
How many programs will be ended on July? I probably would have to get back to you, Representative Wisnett and Chair Tomei, with that answer in terms of specifically.
Because it has to be so many, because you're going to build 16. So every county, every program is not going to be continued on July the 1st of 2013. Is that correct?
Representative Tomei and Representative Wisnett, what we have done is, remember, we have a significant amount of funding sources that the money goes through. You have Oregon Pre-K, you have Head Start, you have Early Childhood Special Ed, you have multiple funding sources. If you're referring to what we're going to look at in terms of the specifically the commission funding, and I wouldn't be able to answer
that. I haven't used
that.
The word commission in this whole presentation.
Okay, so the reason, Representative Wisnett, that I could not answer that is because right now what Duke Shepherd said earlier is there were significant amounts of contracts that end June 30th that were done through the counties, not through the state. So that's how I'm not able to answer that at this point. We can go back and get estimates.
Madam Chair, follow up.
Follow up.
All I've said is I don't want any pro. If I got a parent training class in Primal, Oregon, and they're helping 10 kids on July the 1st, does that program end? Does that person lose their job that's providing that training?
Representative Tomei and Representative Wisnett. That could very well have happened with the fact that the county may have chosen to have a different program at that point to move forward.
Madam Speaker, did you want to respond to this?
Just here for backup.
Okay. Representative Olson.
Okay, so the way I understand that, then, Jada, and everything, and the question, well, this is, I love the fire, okay? So it really boils back down to the hubs and the communities that you were talking about, Speaker, of trying to really come out where we're getting. That would then determine whether or not you're going to have that smaller organization or whatever size organization is going to exist as you move forward. But it's going to be left to the community that makes that decision then?
Chair Tomei and Representative Olson, what I'd like to let you know is in our research, what we have is over 245 contracts that are let by the counties. And so for me to sit here and promise to you that every child in every county was going to continue being served at July 1 would not be a fair statement for me to be able to make. I think that what we're looking at is you have the infrastructure in place to be able to move forward with those contracts, with Healthy Start, with the relief nurseries, with all the other funding that continues. Beyond that, at this point, what we have to look at is, remember, our goal from the Early Learning Council is, and I believe all of yours, is that we're looking at programs that serve readiness for kindergarten for all those kids and families to be able to look at. And the other two that we look at are stable and attached families, as well as some early identification. So those are the things that we want to look at to move forward.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thanks.
Thank you for coming to testify.
Thank you very much.
You might stick around and see if something else comes up. We have two people who have signed up to speak, Bill Thomas and Elise Brown. And Elise wants, I think, to sort of represent the views of someone near and dear to us who is not able to be here today.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Elise Brown for the Children's Institute Ready for School program. And I have to take a deep breath here because it's difficult for me to sit here today in front of all of you without my friend Lynn Lundquist, who you all got to hear, thankfully, earlier when 2013 was first heard. And he was expected to be here with me today or when the follow-up was going to take place. So I simply wanted to be here for the record on behalf of Lynn and all the hard work that he's done along with the many, nearly 48 business and key community leaders in support for early childhood education. You all remember Dick Alexander in front of you on that issue, and Lynn's been a great successor to that. And, you know, the talking points go back to 2006 with just simply support, full funding for Head Start. And what we really like about the Dash Ones is the creation of the Early Learning Readiness Partnership and Innovation Program. It's a very long name, but we're very excited. And as you acknowledged, Rep. Gelser, I think this allows Oregon to take the next step in building strong connections between early learning and K through 12. Duke quite appropriately pointed out a couple of those. You all heard the Earl Boyle's example in the Portland David Douglas School District. But what the creation of this new program in the Dash Ones is going to allow the continuation of some of the other conversations and connections that are taking place, like Yonkala, the Pendleton area, Ben Lapine area, Lane County. So we see this as a great next step. And I know Lynn would appreciate your support in this, and I did want to be here for the record to state that. So thank you all. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Elise. Go ahead.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, my name is Bill Thomas. I'm testifying on behalf of the Washington County Department of Health and Human Services, where I'm the director of the Commission on Children and Families. I've just received the Dash Ones, like everybody else, and have read through them. I provide you with written testimony, and with apologies to Representative Gelser, it does address the question of the transition that I want to come back to. But I'd like to say this. I think it's a good framework. I think that Act 1 amendments do advance the dialogue and provide a structure that we can move forward, the stakeholders can move forward with. And I take the Speaker and Duke at their word that they're wanting to move this to the stage that they can now involve the stakeholders in a discussion of what are the things that aren't addressed, what's not clear, and how can we address that. And the concern that I have is July 1. I've had that concern since 4165 was passed, when we actually addressed the Speaker, Nate, remember at the time, I said, gee, you know, there is this date between June 30th and January 1. And I think there was agreement at that time to ensure that there wasn't a gap in services. I know how long it takes the state, even with the 20 folks from DAS, to process an intergovernment agreement. I 2 years ago, for the funds that came to the counties for commission-funded programs, we would have had those IGAs by now. We would have had a date certain that they have to be back by, because the AG wouldn't approve a retroactive contract. So I know that this is going to take conversation to the end of the session. We can't wait till the end of the session to institute those IGAs to ensure that at least some services are in place on July 1st that do continue to provide important services to young children. And the point that I want to make is that in our county, at least, I can't speak for all counties, the three sources of flexible funding, Children, Youth, and Families funding, Great Start funding, and has been called Family Preservation and Support, I think it's now being called Family Support Services, provide the bulk of funding for young children in our community. In 2011-12, we provided services to almost 9,000 0-6 children, documented this in the state database. Of that number, 379 were funded through the Healthy Start program. It's our largest funding stream, but it's a relatively expensive program. Therefore, we funded a lot more services for young children with these flexible funding streams that were low cost, high impact. A large part of, you've heard before, our service system is based in family resource centers that are based in school districts. And we don't want to see those dismantled. In fact, they're even referenced in one of the sections of this bill, if an area chooses to use family resource centers as a model. So my plea to you is to give whatever direction to the Early Learning Council they need with your decisions today and your sending this to Ways and Means, so that they can propose a transition plan not only for Healthy Start and relief nurses, which are important. That was welcome news that when the director said last week counties would hear a plan in 10 days, but also a transition plan for those local flexible funds, because the section that I'm reading here of Section 24, Subsection 6, which says for any community in the state that is not served by an early learning hub, that is one of these seven hubs, or ultimately the 16, the Early Learning Council shall oversee and administer the delivery of early learning services. We don't want what we have in place now that are effective, that are serving kids, young children and families, that are helping kids get ready for kindergarten, to just disappear. We want them to be continued. I know the Early Learning Council wants them to be continued, but the director has said they need to have some clarity. It's a very reasonable position on what the direction that the legislature is going to take with 2013. I think this framework provides this. I think that Section 24, Subsection 6 provides a mandate to ensure that there is some transition and transition planning. And I hope in moving this to the committee that the Early Learning Council will take that as a sign, okay, it's time for us to clarify to counties, to providers, to their staff who are leaving right now, and to most importantly, to families, yes, there will be something in place. It may not be everything that has been funded with local flexible funds, but there will be something in place, and there will be intergovernmental agreement with those counties in those places to make sure that while we're developing these seven hubs, that that's going to continue until they're developed or until the second year. Thank you very much
for
your patience.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. And Doug Riggs, where did he go? You have 2 minutes, Doug.
Um,
Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, I'm Doug Riggs. I'm here on behalf of the Coalition of Commissions on Children and Families, all of which go away on July 1st. And we have been working to focus on two points that Representative Wisnett and others of you have emphasized, and that's to make sure that there isn't a transition program, that there are no gaps in services, and that's really the key. So let me make three quick points. I do want to agree with Representative Wisnett and just prepare the committee members. There will be gaps in services, and there will be programs that are going away. We had this discussion at the coalition meeting a few weeks ago and again last week, and there are programs that are already being shut down. That's largely because there has not been a clear path. So let's not be under any misunderstanding that there won't be programs that will end before July 1st. Having said that, I think the Dash Ones recognize something that's very important, which is there needs to be a transition program. It won't save all programs, but hopefully the language on page 41 in section 6, which says that the ELC shall continue programs in counties that are not going to be hubs, is going to be a step in the right direction. So we very much appreciate that. Last point I want to make, and you have House Bill 2392 coming up later. If we focus only on 0 to 6, I agree 100% that 0 to 3 and 0 to 6 programs are very important. But if we lose track of the fact that we have to have people in place and people to answer the phone for Youth Development Council programs down the road, then 6 to 18 will lose a lot of the progress that we've made 0 to 6. So I have talked to the Speaker's staff. I think we have an agreement that we're going to continue this discussion in Ways and Means, but we have to make sure that there are boots on the ground, people answering the phone, people able to respond to the data requests, sign the performance-based contracts, make sure that there are outcomes, measurements, and that we keep track of what's happening, not just for 0 to 6, but for the whole continuum of the kid, 0 to 18, or even in the case of homeless youth, 0 to 21. So those are three quick points. I realize the time is short, but thanks very much.
Thank you, Doug. With that, we're going to be closing the public hearing on House Bill 2013. Open up the work session on House Bill 2013. We have the fiscal, but we don't have the revenue, but we will have it by 5 o'clock. Representative Wisnett, you have a statement. Would you be willing to...
Yes, ma'am. What I'd like to do is just ask the committee members to read it. It was written before I'd seen the amendment. I think even what I've seen, the message I'm trying to give to the committee is still valid, and I will be opposing the amendment and the bill at this time because I don't think we've been presented an adequate plan, but that's what's in the letter. I'd appreciate it if the committee members would read it. Thank you.
We certainly will. Thank you, Representative. With that, we're going to close the work session momentarily. We'll open up again when we get the revenue. Our intention is to pass this to Ways and Means, and we will be getting periodic updates from the Early Learning Council. So thank you all very much. I'll close the work session on House Bill 2013 momentarily. Open up the work session on House Bill 3377.
Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3377 has a revenue statement issued and a fiscal statement issued and a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It modifies the amount of the Oregon State Lottery Commission spends to advertise the state lottery and biennium to 0.5% or less of net proceeds. Of this amount, the commission shall spend $4 million on advertising directed to prevention and treatment of addiction and other emotional behavioral problems related to playing state lottery.
Thank you. And we do have an amendment, correct? And is Representative Parrish here? Okay. We do have the amendment, correct? Isn't there?
That's right. There is a Dash 1 amendment.
So our intent, and so did you already say what the amendment did? It changes. Go ahead.
It's actually integrated into what the measure does now.
Perfect. Terrific. So any questions about this? Our intent is to move this to Ways and Means. We do have Mr. Nicewander here, but I've suggested that he might want to wait and give his testimony when it goes to Ways and Means. Any questions or anybody want to hear from Mr. Nicewander? Okay, do you want to vote on this?
I can come back and vote on all of them. I'm okay with the bill.
Okay. Well, why don't you, we're going to have a vote right now. So... we're in Ways in the work session, Representative. Is he still here? 3377.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I'd like to move to adopt the Dash 1 amendment stated 4-11-13 to House Bill 3377.
Representative Gomberg moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendment stated 4-11-13 to House Bill 3377. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objection? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would move House Bill 3377 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Gomberg moves House Bill 3377 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I will repeat something I've said many times, but I want to make sure it is said on the record. I never doubt your motive and your commitment to doing something about Oregonians who have become entrapped in gambling. I disagree with the path, and I think if you're going to do anything about addiction through advertising or other methods, this is not the agency to do it through. But I support your motive. I just don't like the bill.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? With that, Debbie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Gallegos.
Aye.
Representative Gelser.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
No.
Representative Kinnegeyer.
Aye.
Representative Wisnan.
Aye.
Representative Whitsitt.
No.
Vice Chair Gomber.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
Aye.
Chair Tomei.
Aye. Having received the required number of votes, bill is, as amended, is sent to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you, Committee. Okay, next we have House Bill 3131.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3131 has no revenue impact and a fiscal statement was issued. We are adding a sub-referral to Ways and Means. It requires the superintendent of the Oregon State Hospital to establish and implement program for continuous employment of healthcare professionals who provide specified services. And Madam Chair, members of the committee, I believe yesterday a Dash 2 amendment was introduced and it replaces the measure.
Right. So the old proverbial gut and stuff. So don't we have a fiscal on this? It seems to me I saw that earlier. I don't have it in my file.
I believe a fiscal impact was cast out. Yes,
I'm looking at one right now. Thank you. Great. So we have the fiscal, and again, this bill will go to the Committee on Ways and Means. Oh, we passed your bill out.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. So we have the fiscal on House Bill 3131. We have to pass the Dash 2 amendment, right?
That's right. And strap this right there for the.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3131, dated 4-15-13.
Representative Gomberg moves to adopt the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 3131, dated 4-15-13. Any discussion? Remember, we had a long discussion on Monday about this bill. Any objection? The amendment is adopted. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd move House Bill 3131 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and add a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Is there, Representative Gomberg moves House Bill 3131 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and add a subsequent referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I clearly understand what this bill is all about. I mean, from my experience and my background and everything, I get to the idea of needing to have the 24-hour coverage, mm-hmm. especially in the environment that this is in. I, at the same time, have a concern that the legislature would act as the mediator involved in a collective bargaining unit and the state. So, I mean, because of that, I'm going to be a no. I do think that there was sufficient amount of evidence that we heard anyways from the director of the state hospital that, in fact, they were doing a good job with providing the coverage that they needed to, staying within the framework of the dollars that we as the legislative body have given them. So,
I that's a good point, Representative. I think what we're hoping is if this goes to Ways and Means that they will realize that they really need to put more money into this. Because right now, people are having to work mandated overtime, and it's gone down by a third, but it's still way too high. And I think the staff's hope is that this would not require as much mandated overtime. But you make a great point. Any other discussion? So we did have the motion to pass the bill, right?
To call the roll.
Right. To call the roll, right. So, Debbie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Barry
Gosch. Aye.
Representative Gelser.
Aye.
Representative Gilliam.
Aye.
Representative Kenny Guyer.
Aye.
Representative
Winsett. Oh, he's excused.
Representative Winsett.
No.
Vice Chair Glomber.
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson.
No.
Chair Colbain.
Aye. Being required, achieve the required majority of the bill passes and goes to Ways and Means. Thank you, committee. Okay. With that, I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3131 and opening up the work session on House Bill 3482.
Madam Chair and members of the committee.
Oh, wait, you know what? I'm going to hold that one.
Okay.
So I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 3482, open up the work session on House Bill 2392. Oh, he wants it. Does Representative Winston want to talk on that one? Maybe I'll hold that one off. So we'll hear, we'll have a work session, open up the work session on House Bill 3445.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3445 has no revenue impact and a fiscal statement was issued. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It establishes the community home model for placement of children in wards in legal custody of Department of Human Services as viable, compelling alternative placement option to traditional foster care placements, creates pilot projects, requires study and evaluation of established community homes, authorizes funding sources for community model homes, requires departments to submit report to appropriate legislative interim committees.
Thank you. I hope you've had a chance to look at this amendment. It, again, is another gut and stuff. But the agency worked with the Catholic Family Services, and I think they've come up with a great bill. So thank you, Representative Gallegos, for bringing us the original bill. Any discussion?
I believe it's just a quick summary. This is a pilot.
Yes. Right?
They're doing a pilot over the next 3 years.
Right.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Yes, I do too. I was really pleased we could work something out.
He's feeling bad. He's a co-bringer.
No thanks necessary.
I'm sorry, William. I never mean to leave you out.
I know that.
All right. So I open up a work session, and now I will hear a motion. Who's ready for this? We're losing people. You know, people are going out to testify on other bills, although there he is. Are you ready for this one?
Okay. So, Madam Chair, I move to adopt the -1 amendments dated 4-16-13 to House Bill 3445.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the -1 amendment dated 4-16-13 to House Bill 3445. Any discussion? Again, congratulations to the people who worked on this. Any objection? The amendment is adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3445 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means with by prior reference.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 3445 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I actually deserve no credit for this, but seek it wherever I can get it. This was brought to me, and it was not my idea, and I think it's a great idea. I support the amendments. I think they're good amendments. I think the bill is better without the amendments. So I am a big yes, but I am a bit disappointed that we're putting some sort of a sunset on it. However, staying positive, I believe that at the end of whatever period, I can't remember the amendments call for, we're going to see a glowing report. Because when these kind of organizations, not just the organization that has come forward, partner with us at the state, I believe good things happen. I think we need them desperately, and all the cooperation and services that we can offer with good and great partners, like the group that's come forward in this, are essential. So we've got a good bill, and we'll have to come back and address the sunset, and we'll have a great bill. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much. Representative Whitsett.
I would like to thank my committee members for bringing a fabulous bill to us, and congratulations. I hope it goes forward.
Great. I do, too. Any further comments? With that, Debbie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Dyckhoff.
Yes.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative
Kinnegar?
Aye. Representative Wisman?
Excused?
Representative
Fitzit?
Aye. Vice Chair Lomber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Tomei?
Aye. The bill passes and goes on to Ways and Means. So I close the work session on House Bill 3445. Sorry. So I'm going to open up 3482, right? Open up the work session on House Bill 3482.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 3482 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact. It establishes and clarifies landlord and tenant provisions for maintenance of trees and hazard trees on rental space for manufactured dwellings, modifies utility charges owed by tenant to the landlord due upon delivery of a written bill, exempts manufactured housing dealers or landlords from mortgage loan originator licensing.
And this has an amendment, right?
And this does have an amendment.
Great. Okay.
So, Madam Chair,
yes.
I move to adopt the dash one amendments dated 4/12/13 to House Bill 3482.
Representative Olson moves to adopt the dash one amendment dated 4/12/13 to House Bill 3482. Any discussion? Another good bill. Any objection? The amendment is adopted.
And Madam Chair, I move House Bill 3482 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 3482 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Again, good bill. All those of you who worked on this, we appreciate it.
Madam Chair.
Yes, you did not work on this, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for pointing that out. Madam Chair, I just wanted to say I was so disappointed in the presentation. It was boring, everybody got along, and I will vote for the bill.
Thanks for your comments. Any further discussion? The clerk will call the roll, please.
Representative Dyckhoff?
Yes.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
Aye.
Representative Kinnegar?
Aye.
Representative
Wisman? Excused?
Representative Winsett?
Aye.
Vice Chair
Glover? Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair
Tomei? Yes. The motion passes, and the bill will go to the floor.
And actually, I think, don't you think Representative Gilliam would be not perfect to
no,
carry that
I
thing?
No, I don't. Representative Gallegos, would you carry this bill for us?
I'd be happy to if I could support pieces here.
Thank you. Okay, so I close the work session on House Bill, what was that, 3482, and what have we not done yet? Oh, we haven't done the other one. What's the other one, 3007? Okay. Colleagues, 3007 is a bill we heard a great deal of discussion about. And we have decided that what we will do is set up a work group. Representative Nathanson, and I think Representative Wisnett is also interested in this. And I'm asking them to set up a work group of maybe 8 or 10 people from both sides of this issue. And we hope they can find compromise and ways to make the bill work better and meet the goals of the bill. And we will expect a report to this committee by September legislative days, and I'm not sure what those dates are, but by the September legislative days, we're hoping that these folks will meet together and they bring some legislation to us on which everyone can agree. So we're looking for a good bill for the 2014 session. So now we're waiting for revenue. Oh, this is for 23. That's the only one. That's all we're waiting for. Colleagues, so we have the revenue for House Bill 2013. And it says there will be no revenue impact. So I'm going to reopen the work session on House Bill 2013. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have studied in detail the Dash 1 amendments while we've been here this afternoon. I'd like to move to adopt those Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2013, dated 4-17-13.
Representative Gomberg moves to adopt the amendment to House Bill 2013, dated 4-17-13. Any discussion? Any objection? The amendment is adopted. Representative Gomberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move House Bill 2013 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation as amended. And be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Representative Gomberg moves that House Bill 2013 be reported out of committee with a due pass recommendation as amended and be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Any discussion? Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I particularly am grateful for your comments when we had the Speaker and Duke here. And our even as policy folks, our desire to stay informed, and I look forward to the work down there. So I will look forward to the monitoring that we do and any report that comes, and I'll look forward to the debate on the floor. I'm going to vote no for now, but reserve the right once we go through the Ways and Means process to reconsider that on the floor.
Thank you, Representative Gillen. Any further comments?
Sure. I'd like to say I'm going to vote yes, but I'm still, you know, I'd concur with my colleague here that I really want to watch this.
He was pointing at me.
Yes, I know.
Thank you.
Yes, Representative Whitfield.
I have a concern about how many jobs statewide may be lost during this transition, especially in the rural areas where a few jobs equals the equivalent of hundreds of jobs in the city. So I'm very concerned about the transition period and who will not have a job while we're trying to decide how this is going to be implemented.
Thank you, Representative Woodson. Any further comments? All right, seeing none. Debbie, would you call the roll, please?
So Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gilser?
Aye.
Representative Gilliam?
No.
Representative Kinnegeyer?
Aye.
Representative Woodson?
No.
Representative Woodson?
No.
Vice Chair Gomber?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
No.
Aye. Having required the majority of votes for passage, the motion passes, and it will go to Ways and Means, and we will have periodic meetings with the people regarding the Early Learning Council. So, and what I'm asking is that if you have questions as the issues move ahead, that you will get them to me or Regina, and then we will ask them of Duke and of the Speaker. Colleagues, can you believe it?
We're not done yet.
I thought we were done yet.
2392.
Oh, 2392. Thank you. How did I forget that? All right, right there. Okay, Regina.
Oh, Madam Chair.
I guess I'll open up the work session for House Bill 2392.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, House Bill 2392 has no revenue impact and no fiscal impact. It modifies the Youth Development Council membership to include county representatives. It requires the Youth Development Council to prioritize and identify funds to support community-based youth development programs, declares an emergency. And you will notice in your packet there is a Dash 6 amendment, and this replaces the measure.
Thank you. Colleagues, we're going to take a quick recess. Representative Gilser, could I speak with you? Okay. Do we have the script for this one? I just... I opened up the work session, I think, on House Bill 2392, and Representative Olson.
Madam Chair, I'd move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments that are dated 4/313 into House Bill 2392.
Representative moves to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated 4/313 to House Bill 2392. Yes, Representative.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Committee members, the Chair asked me and Representative Gomberg to head up a work group to try to work this out and see if we could make the bill better. And I asked Representative Kenny Geyer to also join us. So we had about three or four meetings with Regina's assistance and with Mrs. Bell's corporation. Dash 6 is supported by all of us on that work group. I understand the governor's office. I understand the former commissioner on children and families, Commissioner Carlson. I don't know of anyone that I've heard that doesn't like the Dash 6. And I think the Dash 6 was a good effort to provide that transition with Mrs. Bell and her staff's agreement to stretch it out so that we would have a transition for this age group of children. So I'm very happy with what we produced. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the work, the three representatives. We really appreciate it. That's terrific.
Madam Chair.
So, yes.
I just wondered how many assistants Regina has.
Why don't you ask her?
I would.
Okay, with that.
Okay, well, Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2392 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and add a sub-referral to the Committee on Ways and Means.
We didn't vote for the amendment yet, did we?
We did the amendment.
Okay.
Representative Olson moves House Bill 2392 as amended to the floor with the due pass recommendation and add a sub-referral to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Representative Gomberg?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to thank Representative Wisnett for his leadership on the work group and really pulling things together and getting us to where we are and bringing all the parties to a consensus. He really did provide the leadership on that effort.
That's great. He'd been a longtime member of the Commission on Children and Families, not just in his area, but the statewide. So thank you for all your service, Representative.
Thank you.
Representative Gelser.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First of all, I wanted to thank those that have worked hard on this amendment. I appreciate that it is a different bill than when it started. That said, my county commissioner has expressed his very strong opposition to this bill in very, very clear and strong terms. And so I'm going to be a no vote today out of respect to my county commission, but reserve the right to change my vote to yes, should they be comforted by these amendments.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Debbie, would you call the roll, please?
Representative Gallegos?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
No.
Representative Guillaume?
Aye.
President Kenny Geyer?
Aye.
Representative Wisner?
Aye.
Representative Whitson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gomberg?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson? Aye. Chair
Tomei? Aye. Having received the majority of votes required for passage, this bill passes. And I close the work session on House Bill 2392. Now have we done everything?
Madam Chair, I believe that Representative Wisner may have been out of the room excused for a couple of votes. I'd move to suspend the rules and to reopen the work session on House Bill 3131.
We open up the work session, reopen the work session on House Bill 3131. How do you vote, Representative?
3131, no.
So noted. I close the work session on House Bill 3131.
So, Madam Chair, I'd move to suspend the rules and reopen the work session on House Bill 3445.
I reopen the work session on House Bill 3445. Representative Wisnett?
I vote yes.
Votes yes. Close the work session on House Bill 3445. I beg your pardon?
Don't you have to ask if we object? It's like through the chair or something.
Right. Do you remember what that felt like?
No.
Is that it? No, Madam Chair. Despite Representative Gillum's disruptions, I've got one more for you. I'd like to move to suspend the rules on House Bill 3482 and reopen the work session.
I open up the work session on 3482. Representative Wisnett, how would you vote?
Yes, Madam Chair.
Close the work session on House Bill 3482. Anything else? Great job, committee. Oh, wait. Oh. She's what? What do you need, dear?
2392.
It goes on to Ways and Means. But you could make a request for Mr. Wisnett.
Sorry?
Was it required to go to Ways and Means?
That one had it added.
Yes, we added that. Yes, the sub-referral to Ways and Means.
Could you make a request to Ways and Means that he carry that bill?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Anything else, Debbie?
No,
Regina, can we be excused? Are we through? All right, committee.
Good
Thank
job.
You very much. I close the House Committee on Human Services and Housing. Thank you all so much. Great job.